Good morning. This is The Burner. I am James Butler, coming to you from the still night-wrapped and moonlit Navara Towers, and it is the execrably early hour of 6:11 a.m. on Tuesday, the 12th of November. Here is what matters today. Just at the top of the show, I want to draw your attention to something said by Sam Gyimah last night. Now, Gyimah used to be a Tory minister under Theresa May. He had the whip removed for rebelling over the Brexit deal. He defected to the Lib Dems earlier this year. He's now standing against Labour's Emma Dent Code in Kensington, where she has a majority of just 20 votes. Kensington, of course, is where Grenfell was located, and Dent Code sat on the council there. Last night, Gyimah did something very slimy indeed. In an interview, he professed that, oh, Grenfell was so important, such a horror, that it should be above politics. And then he suggested that Dent Code bore some responsibility for it, because she was on the council at the time. This is a smear. As anyone who has covered the fire knows, Dent Code raised the alarm many times and warned the Tory-run council that it was a disaster in the making. She's also fought really passionately for justice for the victims. This, it seems to me, is just a nauseating rhetorical trick of the kind often used by Tories in the past. You know, to claim something is too important to be politicised, then use it to get a smear in. Well, I for one think Grenfell isn't above politics, isn't beyond politics, but was an act of politics and one that should have political consequences. It's not often that base political acts shock me, but this one really did. And maybe it just goes to show that these Tory MPs, now rebaptised as Lib Dems, haven't changed a jot. Like the French diplomat Talleyrand is supposed to have said of the old French monarchy, they have learned nothing and they have forgotten nothing. But the story everyone is talking about both yesterday and this morning is the Brexit Party's decision to stand down its candidates in 317 seats currently held by the Conservatives and to concentrate their fire on leave voting Labour seats. Speaking yesterday, Nigel Farage claimed that Johnson's firm commitment to leaving the EU at the end of January and his commitment to pursue a so-called Canada-style free trade deal was enough to meet his criticisms. Farage had previously called the deal the second worst deal in history, not Brexit, a reheated version of Theresa May's deal. What on earth could have happened to change his mind?
But I'd like to see you and Boris get together, because you would really have some numbers, because you did fantastically in the election, the last election.
And absolutely.
He respects you a lot. I can tell you that. He respects you a lot. I don't know if you know that or not, but because I have no idea. You know, I have enough
but
to do.
But it's not just the influence of the transatlantic terror, though. Farage, Johnson and Trump do seem to nestle inside each other like an endlessly recursive Russian doll. Farage had been under pressure from much of the hard Brexit side to roll back his hardline opposition anyway for fear of getting no Brexit at all. So this is certainly a capitulation of some kind. Some Labour activists yesterday reacted with horror, fearing a hard Brexit electoral alliance between the right and the far right, one which, if successful, might even see us dropping off the cliff of no deal sometime at the end of January. But hold up. Nobody knows just yet what this pact, if it is a pact, will look like in practice. And for all the drama, it's not clear this will really be all that decisive. Farage indicated he'd still compete against the Tories in seats with a Labour incumbent, and if that's a real competition, the Tory and Brexit Party vote might well be split. Now, Farage's lot have seen some serious decline in the polls recently, but they're also campaigning seriously, from Hartlepool and Sedgefield yesterday to a rally in Westminster at 11 a.m. today. In any case, the Labour Party seems to know what its favoured attack line is at the moment. Vote Johnson, get Farage. And get Farage, get Trump. Of course, Labour's immediate response yesterday underlined just who they see as having eyes on the NHS.
I think everything with the trade deal is on the table. When you're dealing in trade, everything's on the table. So NHS or anything else, or a lot more than that. But everything will be on the table, absolutely.
Now, lots of Conservative candidates will welcome a reprieve from a Brexit Party competitor, but there are also difficulties it presents. Nigel Farage himself is politically radioactive, especially for soft Tories, many of whom might consider swinging liberal instead. Any hint of a formalised pact between the two parties will be about as welcome to Tory HQ as a cold cup of sick. I expect some extreme squirming from ministers and Tory candidates about this, especially if they're standing in Liberal target seats. Now, we'll know a bit more about what's really going to happen in terms of candidates, in terms of paper candidates, pacts, stand-downs and trade-offs after Thursday of this week. That's the deadline for nomination papers to go in, and that's why there have been so many bitter rows, briefings, counter-briefings and tantrums going on over who's standing where. Because after Thursday, it can't be changed. There have been some interesting moves on the left, with the Greens standing down in Chingford to bolster Faizer Shaheen's chance of unseating Ian Duncan-Smith. Other Green candidates have quit in dismay at the party's link-up with the Liberal Democrats. But really, we're waiting to hear what this does to the right. When the papers are in, we'll be able to figure out what kind of candidates both Tory and Brexit Party are planning to stand in respective target constituencies. And that's really when we'll know what the agreement between the two looks like. It's all a bit of a distraction to the Tories, though, who seem to want to be on the attack on the economy, despite their questionable numbers, their own rickety sums, and a Chancellor who now seems to be running away from a debate with John McDonnell. Perhaps they should count their blessings. There is a question here, and it's one I haven't really been able to answer in elections in the past. How much of the electoral mood is set by these big framing stories in the national press, clashes of personality, this remark or that scandal? How much is noise? How much is signal? What do people notice? It's true that TV and radio news are still the main points of access for many, many people, especially older voters. But was that the story of 2017? Was it social media instead? Was it actually face-to-face canvassing? That's a topic for a longer show, maybe. But there are two interesting initiatives going on from the left trying to figure out how to reach people. First, Acorn, which, if you don't know, is an amazing community union which is taking action against rip-off landlords and estate agents. They're leading both a registration drive and a get-out-the-vote campaign. They say only half of renters turn out on election day, and those in the least secure housing are de facto excluded. So not only have they co-written a renter manifesto for this election, but they're actively using the election to contact, organise and agitate around their political concerns. Now, last time around, Acorn led an impressive drive anyway. This time, it's running in 9 cities and they look to outdo themselves. You can find that campaign at rentersvote.org.uk. Meanwhile, Momentum have been thinking about the algorithm. Having profited from viral social media videos in the last election, this time they're taking a little bit of a different approach. It seems that they think Facebook now deprioritizes politics links in favor of personal content. So they're encouraging people to make their own videos, their own content, to spread in a cascade effect. And it looks like that's going to be focused on the NHS. It could well be a very powerful tool, but perhaps as a sign of where the Big Mo's real trust is, it's also running alongside serious pushes for rubber-to-pavement volunteering and face-to-face canvassing. What's on today? Hillary Clinton, of all people, has been piling on the pressure over the suppressed report into the subversion of UK democracy and Russian links to the Tories. She's got her own reasons for that. She's due on the airwaves this morning. John McDonnell joins striking McDonald's workers as they protest outside Downing Street later today. The Daily Mail leads on a report of a ticking time bomb on dementia care, something Boris Johnson promised action on, but now says is going to be delayed. And just remember, it was the dementia tax which started to sink Theresa May in 2017, and it looks like the Tories are set to double down on their attacks on Labour spending. Where's the debate, Sajid? Issue of the day. That looks like Labour, of course, will be pushing the education aspect of its green industrial revolution today. Angela Rayner is due to give a speech on vocational work, the radical expansion of lifelong learning, and making sure, quote, no one is shut out of education. Here's a stat. The number of adults in education is at its lowest since 1996. The numbers achieving a qualification have dropped off 40% since 2011. But in terms of the air war, doubtless much of the press attention will still be on the Brexit Party and what its deal really means. On Navarra Media this evening, Tisky Sauer features Vicky Price, who you may well know from various headlines, but who these days heads up one of those economic outfits which tells us every year how much more productive Britain would be if it didn't have bank holidays. She's up with James Meadway at 8 p.m. tonight. Now, as we go on producing this briefing, I want to hear from you. Tell me about the issues, campaigns, and mobilizations going on in your part of the UK. I want stories, concerns, and anything else. Just send them to me at james@navarramedia.com or tweet on the hashtag TheBurner. That's it. This is The Burner. I'll see you tomorrow. This broadcast is brought to you by Navarra Media. Go to support.navarramedia.com.